What's going on, everybody? It is Chris Aiken from the Classic Metal Show, as well as Aftershocks TV, and just wanted to remind you before we get to this next episode that my first ever book, Little Victories, A Tale of Divorce, Debauchery, and Finding Happiness, is still available on Amazon.com and at my website, Chris Aiken Books. If you're going through a divorce or a bad breakup or whatever, this is going to be surprising because it's not just me telling dick jokes, but it's a fun book, but it's a very heartfelt book, and it's one that, if you've gone through anything ugly, you can definitely relate to it, and maybe it'll help you get through it if you're going through it right now. So check it out, Little Victories. It is available now, Amazon.com or Chris Aiken Books. Know what else is available right now? This episode that you actually came here to see.
On your Classic Metal Show with Snowblind, not the Black Sabbath cover, but Ace Frehley's own, you know,
his own flavor.
Yeah, his own version of that.
Right.
So there you go.
There you go, little Ace Frehley there.
Yeah, that last segment was just a train wreck.
Oh yeah, it really was.
I mean, just to release that horrific audio. Which was basically non-existent.
Yeah.
Because there's this chick, she's on a cell phone or Skype or something. And she can barely, they can barely get anything out of her without just kind of all kinds of breakups.
I can't imagine listening to the whole 3 hours of that.
Yeah, that was almost 3 hours worth. We only played like 12 minutes worth of that.
Yeah. Whew. Can you imagine 3 hours?
So anyway, so this woman has a grievance against Gene Simmons and Ace Frehley.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, you owe me something, bitches.
Well, we'll see what she gets.
Well, after listening to the story and listening to the circumstances, I hope she gets nothing.
A big zero, huh?
Well, I hope she gets saddled with the legal costs on top of that.
Well, she can't pay them, so what difference will that make?
Well, that's kind of my point. It's just like, not only do you get nothing, mm-hmm. now you have to pay the legal costs on top of that.
It'll never come to that. She can't afford it, so she would just take a judgment and then just not pay it and just bankrupt out of it.
Well, yeah, I know, but at least it's kind of like sends a message.
Yeah, I don't think somebody like her is going to ever get a message. If she gets nothing and gets saddled with court fees, she'll bankrupt out of it, and then she'll do nothing but just spend the rest of her life talking about how she got screwed.
Well,
she'll never accept her own responsibility.
Well, but that's where she's at now, is she just sits there and talks about how she got mm-hmm. screwed.
Yeah, and it won't change. See, it's a conspiracy because Ace and Gene are famous.
Right.
That's what it would be.
All right. Well, fair enough. All right. Well, I promised I would tell the story.
Yep.
And I gave it some thought throughout the show.
Okay.
And you're welcome to ask questions along the way.
Okay.
Because, maybe the details are not as clear as I might present them to be.
Okay.
And they might be murky. And I'm going to basically expose myself to being a very, I'm going to go with naive.
Okay.
Young adult.
Right.
And somehow, some way I ended up getting kind of fucked in this whole deal.
Okay.
And being that it's Valentine's Day, this all took place during Valentine's Day.
Okay.
All right, so this is a Neely tale that I don't think I've ever told you or ever revealed on the show. In fact, I don't think I've ever told this story to many people at all, to be honest with you.
All right, great.
So I've kind of dug back into the archives of my mind to tell this story, and and this is in no way, shape, or form to elicit anyone to say, oh man, I'm sorry that happened to you, man.
Okay.
Not at all.
All right.
This is just fact.
Okay.
This is just fact. This is just how it played out. So back in 1989, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. I think it was 89. It was either 89 or 90. I'm not really sure. But it was either one of those. So I was involved with a girl who, you know, I thought was, you know, the love of my life, as it were.
Okay.
And at this point, I was 26 years old, I think. I think I was about 26.
Okay.
And so I was involved with a woman who was about 6 years older than me.
Okay. Now, this is after your marriage?
Yes, after my marriage.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So she was 6 years older than me.
Okay.
And she had been through 2 divorces.
Oh boy.
And 4 children.
Oh boy. This is already going to a bad place.
Well, that's what I'm saying already. And I'm setting myself up because I'm well aware, you know, 30 plus years removed, that this was just a bad thing all over, you know, from the get go.
Right.
But at my age at that time, you know, I wasn't quite as wise to the ways of the world.
Right.
To steer away from these kind of things.
All right.
All right. So this girl, was a very attractive woman. Very attractive.
Okay.
Very, very, pretty, very nice, figure, very, you know, she had it all going on. But mind you, this was the '80s. This was the time of excess. This was, mm-hmm. I was living in California at the time.
Right.
And, there were a lot of substances going around at that time. I was not involved.
Sure.
But, it was just the fact.
Okay.
Okay. Now, this woman who I had been involved with, she was kind of a loose cannon. She was very, I'm just going to say that she was not a button down type. She was more like, fuck the law, fuck conventional
rules.
You know, rules.
You were with this chick?
Yes, I was, because I at that point was like kind of realizing that the restraints of the rules that I was brought up with could be broken.
Okay.
It was just sort of like that whole wild, you know, it's just like run wild type thing.
So this was your rebellious moment, yes, as well.
Absolutely.
Okay.
You're very intuitive.
All right.
So she was exciting to me because she was just like, yeah, fuck the rules. I make the rules. This is how it is. Let's just do something fun.
Okay.
Okay. So that's kind of where I was at. It was kind of like intoxicating, I'm going to say.
All right, cool.
So I got involved with this woman because she was just exciting to me. It was just, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, invested my personal, what do you want to call, assets into her.
Mm-hmm.
Being that she was in the position that she was in, she, you know, lacked financial stability.
So does that mean she's living with you and all that?
No. Nothing like that at all.
Okay.
But I would, you know, give her money. I allowed her, I had a couple of cars. I allowed her to drive one of my cars.
Okay.
But she lived with a roommate. And this, okay, this is an important part to the story.
Okay.
So she lived with a roommate. She was driving one of my cars. I would give her money. I would kind of like help her along because I thought that she was, again, mind you, I was 26 years old. Yeah, 26 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a little more naive at the time.
Okay.
But I was making a pretty good living for a guy my age.
All right.
So I had money to spare. And, you know, I thought I was doing a good thing by helping her. Okay.
All right. I'm with you so far.
All right. So she lived with a roommate and she had children from two previous marriages. Her oldest daughter was 16 years old.
Okay.
Okay. Her oldest daughter was involved with a guy that she did not approve of.
All right.
All right. She basically was trying to be the mother to the 16-year-old daughter, even though she herself was very, I'm going to just say, irresponsible in the way that she conducted her life.
Okay.
So her daughter did not respect her or as a, her mother or an authority figure.
She was a bad example, so the daughter didn't listen.
Exactly.
Okay.
Perfectly put.
Okay.
So her she forbid her daughter to be involved with this guy.
That immediately put the daughter on his dick.
So her daughter basically said, fuck you, I'm doing what I want.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So unbeknownst to me, even though I was involved with this woman, she was seeing somebody else on the sly.
The woman that you were, the woman you or the daughter?
No, the woman I was involved with.
All right.
Was seeing somebody on the sly.
All right.
I was not aware of it.
This is going downward spiral fast, but go ahead.
Of course. That's why I'm telling you the story. That's why this is so, and again, this is 89, 90, 89, 2009. You know, this is 32 years removed.
Did you happen to know a songwriter named Trent Reznor at the time?
No, I was not aware.
Okay, just asking.
All right. So, even though I was fully engaged with this woman, not engaged, but engaged with this woman, I was not aware that she was seeing somebody else on the sly.
Okay.
Now, this somebody else was also involved with somebody else.
Okay.
So this guy that she was seeing on the sly was living with his significant other.
Mm-hmm.
And they were hooking up without my knowledge and without his significant other's knowledge.
So you were getting third degree of other guy junk when you're eating her pussy.
Perhaps.
Ooh.
But okay. I don't know. I don't know that, but perhaps it could have been the case.
Okay.
So this guy was living with his significant other. She was not living with me. She had a roommate.
Okay.
But she was sneaking around on me. And he was sneaking around on his chick. Got that?
I'm with you.
Am I clear so far?
Yeah, it's a pentagram of silliness at this point.
All right.
Five points of interest. Three dudes, two chick, or one chick.
Okay. Right? And a daughter who is seeing
somebody
that she did not approve of.
Okay. Got it.
Got that so far?
With you so far.
All right. So the girl that I'm involved with tells her 16-year-old daughter that she forbids her from being involved or seeing this boy or this guy.
Okay.
Okay. The daughter is aware of her dalliances with this other dude who lives with his chick.
Okay.
Got it so far?
With you so far, the daughter knows that she's cheating on you.
Correct.
Got it.
Okay. The daughter, because of to get revenge on her mother because of her forbiddance of her seeing her boyfriend, writes a letter in detail to the girl her mother is involved with, the girlfriend of the guy,
right,
her mother is involved with, goes to his house and puts it in his mailbox.
Okay.
Okay. Are you following me?
I'm with you so far.
All right. I just want to make this clear.
Yeah, I got it.
All right. The girlfriend of the guy that my girlfriend is cheating with finds the letter.
Okay.
Reads the letter. Basically jacks this guy up for his involvement with another woman. He calls my girlfriend and tells her, don't ever come around here anymore. I don't want to see you. Fuck you. Get lost.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Follow
that so far?
I'm with it so far.
So my girlfriend, whose 16-year-old daughter blew the whistle on her, quote unquote, her lover. Where was I at? Finds out that her daughter, quote unquote, betrayed her like this.
Okay.
This all happens on Valentine's Day.
Okay.
Okay. I have plans with my girlfriend, who I'm not aware.
Right. You're still clueless.
I'm completely clueless.
Right. Okay.
I have plans with my girlfriend who I made big plans for. Nice restaurant, flowers, lingerie, the whole thing for Valentine's Day.
Okay.
To go pick her up after work, and we're going to go to dinner, and we're going to do the whole Valentine's Day couples thing.
Okay.
Got it?
Mm-hmm.
Unbeknownst to me, that all this other bullshit took place.
Right.
That the guy called her and said, don't ever come around here no more. Just like Tom Petty.
Sure.
And the mother, my girlfriend, finding out her daughter is the one who tipped his girlfriend off to the bullshit that's going on between them. Right.
Right. All right.
So my girlfriend is so distraught over the fact that her daughter betrayed her like this.
Right.
She locks herself into a bathroom with a gun. Okay. I see the look on your face.
Okay.
She locks herself into a bathroom in her apartment where she and her roommate share the apartment, and she won't come out, and she's threatening suicide.
Wow.
Okay.
All right.
So I'm at work on Valentine's Day, not knowing any of this.
Right.
Apparently, I call her about like 4:30 in the afternoon just to say, hey, I'm going to come pick you up at, I'm going to guess, 6 o'clock or something.
Sure.
We got reservations at this certain restaurant.
Right.
And we're going to go to dinner. Well, when I call her house, her roommate answers the phone.
Okay.
And says, she's not here. She's been taken away by the authorities. And I'm just like, what?
Right.
So she, her roommate, tells me the story that about what happened.
Okay.
So apparently what happened, and this is the story that her roommate tells me, is that she's so distraught. My girlfriend is so distraught. She locks herself into the bathroom with a gun on Valentine's Day.
Okay.
Because she's so distraught by what her daughter did.
Right.
By leaving a letter in the mailbox of her boyfriend or her whatever, her
lover, whatever.
Her lover's house, and the boyfriend tells her not to ever call her again.
Right.
So she cannot believe that her own daughter betrayed her like that.
Now, was it just that the daughter betrayed her, or was she also bummed out bad?
Well, I don't know that answer. Okay. I don't know that answer.
Mm-hmm.
But she gets so freaked out about this whole fucking thing.
Yeah.
That she locks herself into a bathroom with a gun and threatens to kill herself.
Okay.
Her roommate doesn't know what to do about this whole thing. So she ends up calling my girlfriend's brother to see if he can come over and talk her out of this whole thing.
All right.
So he comes over to the house, can't convince her to come out of the bathroom.
Okay.
And he calls 911.
Oh boy.
So the sheriffs show up. And they can't figure out, you know, they're trying to talk her out of, you know, whatever it is she thinks she's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't get her out of the locked bathroom. And after, I don't even know how many hours, whether it's an hour or whether it's 2 hours or longer, after talking to her through the door, they negotiate to get her out of the bathroom.
Okay.
She apparently they got her out of the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
They handcuff her because of the apparent, you know, suicide.
Right.
And they take her to the mental.
Yeah, they 5150 her ass.
Exactly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm not aware of any of this.
Right.
Of course, because I'm at work.
Mm-hmm.
So when I called the house to you know, confirm that I'm going to be there to pick her up for dinner and all that, her girlfriend tells me she's not here. The police took her away. She's at a mental hospital.
Jesus Christ.
I had dinner planned. I had bought her flowers, lingerie, the whole nine yards, you know, everything we talked about at the very beginning of the show.
Sure.
And I'm just like, what? And she's like, yeah, she got hauled away. She's at the mental facility at a certain place. And this is where she's at.
Right.
So needless to say, my Valentine's Day was not happening at this point.
Yeah, I'd say not. Jesus Christ.
So, not knowing exactly what happened or why or anything, it was just like this was just so surreal to me. I was just like, I'm like, holy shit, what the fuck happened? Right. Because her roommate did not line the whole thing out for me like I was telling you here.
Okay.
Most of these details that I gave you were given to me later.
Okay.
So they held her for 48 hours.
Okay.
And I think Valentine's Day fell on a Thursday, if I'm not mistaken. That
now
day.
Are you, I'm just curious, are you freaking out at this point that you're,
well, yeah, because I'm just like, what the hell is going on?
Right.
You know, because I don't know what's going on.
Right.
I'm just going on by what I'm being told.
Right.
And again, you got to mind, I'm 26 years old, I think, at this point. She's like 32.
Right.
And I'm just like, holy fuck, what the hell happened here?
Right.
So, you know, I knew her brother and I knew, you know, I knew some of her family. So I called her family and I'm just like, what happened to her. And they said, well, yeah, she got taken away. She's being held for 48 hours for observation. And she's going to be released on Saturday.
Okay.
So I got up on Saturday morning because she was being released. I think it was like 10 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday.
Right.
And I drove over to the, you know, to the facility mm-hmm. where she was being held. And they observed her for 48 hours and they determined that she was not suicidal, that she was just distressed.
Right.
And I was there. And even though I was there and her brothers and sisters and people were there to, you know, support her when she came out of the building, mm-hmm. she didn't even realize that I was there for the, you know, there for her.
Okay. Jesus. Lovely.
So anyway, several days. So I fought here's another twist. And this has really nothing to do with the story per se, but it just goes to show you how things just kind of happen without your, what do you want to call it? It's just indicative of the whole situation.
Okay.
So her sister who lived, I'm going to say close to 40 miles from where she was being released.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted her to come stay with her sister.
Right.
For a couple of days just to kind of, I don't know, what do you want to call it? Just sort of.
Just a mental health.
Yeah. Kind of get the perspective on things.
Yeah. Get your head straight.
Right. So they invited me to follow them to her sister's home.
Okay.
Strangely enough, en route to her sister's home, the transmission on my car took a shit.
Okay.
Which was just a bizarre thing because that's never happened to me since then.
Okay.
So I got stuck on the side of the road.
Mm-hmm.
I had to call, you know, a tow truck and all this other stuff to get my car towed.
Right.
So then I called her brother once again, and he came and picked me up on the side of the freeway.
Okay.
And took me to his sister's home where my girlfriend supposedly was.
All right.
But by the time I'd gotten there, things had got heated between her and her family, and she took off.
She took off.
She took off walking somewhere. Oh,
Jesus Christ.
Didn't I tell you this is tragic?
Oh my God.
This all happened around Valentine's Day. So they didn't know where she went because they got into some kind of heated argument. This would happen before I got there.
Mm-hmm.
And her brother was just like, fuck this. I'm going home. Do you need a ride?
Right.
So he gave me a ride home and dropped me off. I didn't hear from her for about 5 days. Then she called me out of the blue. And basically she was at her sister's home during this whole 5 days.
Okay.
Okay. Now, her complaint, my girlfriend's complaint to me, was that her sister and her family didn't think that it was a good idea for her to go back to her home.
Okay.
Because of the situation.
Right. Okay.
And she wanted just to go home, but she didn't have a ride there. She didn't know how to get there. She didn't have a way of getting there, rather. And she was miserable, and I'm wearing the same panties that I was wearing 6 days ago.
Oh God.
And I'm miserable. I don't know what to do. And of course, you know, this pulls on my heartstrings. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, well, I'll come get you. That's not a problem. So I drove, you know, down there into the LA basin. Now, mind you, I was living in California at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was about close to an hour drive from me.
Okay.
And I went to pick her up and I picked her up. And at this point, I don't know what you want to call it, was if it was compassion, if it was love, if it was feeling sorry. I really don't know, because mm-hmm. this was so long ago.
Okay.
So at this point, I picked her up. She's miserable. She's unhappy. It's just like, how did I get to this point? Mm-hmm. And me being sober, not drug affected, not alcohol affected.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, I'm going to save this girl from her misery.
Okay.
You know, idealistic as it would be, you know, sure. This idealistic guy. I'm just going to be the knight in shining armor. I'm going to save this girl from her misery. I'm going to make everything all better.
Right.
And I take her to my home.
Okay.
Which wasn't, you know, uncommon. I mean,
sure.
And she just seemed like there was just like this outpouring of love and passion and admiration for me, just made me feel like the king of the world.
Okay.
You know, and I felt like, man, I'm doing a good thing here. I'm doing a solid, you know, this woman, she's kind of lost. I'm just like a solid dude.
Right.
I like that. Evel Knievel.
Evel Knievely.
I love it. But see, this is what I'm thinking the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we basically celebrate Valentine's Day 6 days after.
Okay.
You know, because of her going away and her being at her sister's and all this other stuff.
Sure.
And, you know, I thought, again, I thought I was doing a great thing. And I thought, man, do I feel like the most powerful man in the world? And I'm making a difference in this woman's life. And, you know, I'm just this great guy and so on.
Right.
Little did I know, she went back to her old ways once again.
Are you shitting me?
No, I'm not shitting you.
She went back to the dude?
No, no, no. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that she went back to her old ways of by hook or crook, more or less.
Okay.
You know, even though I attempted to do good by her,
mm-hmm.
you know, so anyway, long story short, and there's so much more to that story, without boring everybody, but the long story short is, regardless of the efforts that I put in to make this a legitimate situation and mm-hmm. try to make it happen, it didn't happen.
Right.
It really was just a horrific situation.
It sounds awful.
So that's how I spent my Valentine's Day of 1989.
Jesus Christ, dude.
With a suicidal girlfriend and somebody who I tried to do good for, and it was all for naught, really.
So, how, you said you're still in contact in some way now.
Yes.
Did it take, I'm assuming that you're friendly, if not yes. friends?
Well, I will, I'm glad you brought that up, because that is a caveat to the story.
Okay.
So I lost contact with her for literally, let's see here, 20 years.
Okay.
20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And through social media.
Look at that.
Yeah. Through social media, I happened to find her.
Wait a minute. This is bizarro world. You have a good something to say about social media?
Yes, I do.
You?
I do.
I'd like to thank everybody for listening these last 25 years, because the show is officially done. Neely is saying something good about social media.
Right.
I can't fucking believe it.
Right. So this situation with this woman, this girl, woman, mm-hmm. Haunted me for a lot of years.
Okay.
And so just out of curiosity, I thought, wonder what happened.
Okay.
So I found her via the social media.
Okay.
And sent her a message. Mm-hmm. She sent me a message back right away. And it was just like, oh my God, I have been looking for you for the last 10 years.
Wow.
And so I was just like, okay, here I am. Mm-hmm. What's up? And it was just like, well, give me your phone number. I need to call you.
Okay.
Okay. So I gave her my phone number. So she called me and basically outlined what her life had become over the last 20 years.
Okay.
And she more or less spelled it out like, I went through a really horrific time. I went through a drug phase. I went through, you know, a lot of abuse. I went through this. I went through that. And now I'm on the straight and narrow. And I made it a point to more or less try to make amends with everyone in my life that I wronged.
Okay.
And you're the last one on the list. And the reason you're the last one is because I never was able to find you.
Right. Okay.
So now that I found you, I have to apologize to you and try to make amends for everything that I did to you because I was a horrific person.
So she's 12-stepping.
More or less, yes.
Okay.
And I realized what a horrific cunt I was and what I did and how good you were to me. Mm-hmm. And the fact is that, you know, you didn't deserve that. And the drugs and the alcohol and the, you know, whatever it was, the substances that were present at the time played a big role. And I know that's not an excuse.
Right.
But that's the fact. Mm-hmm.
Dude, and that room was able to find a photo of her. Look
at that. That Walmart photo.
Yeah. Is that her?
No.
No?
No.
She's quite the looker.
And, you know, I needed to apologize. I needed to let you know that, you know, not a day has gone by where I haven't thought about how much I fucked you over.
Wow.
And that, you know, I'm really regretful about the whole thing. Right. And, you know, again, what am I going to do? I'm going to live my life holding grudges for the rest of my life.
Oh, does she live near you?
No.
At all to where you could like see her at some point?
No, not at all.
Would you, if you were in the same vicinity?
Probably not.
All right. How's she look these days?
Actually pretty, still fairly attractive.
Not like an old horse getting ready.
Not at all. No, not at all.
Okay. So the drugs and the beatdowns didn't beat her up.
No, surprisingly not. I've seen her probably 3 times over the last, 10 years.
Seen her in person or seen pictures?
No, in person.
Oh, okay. Did you hit it?
Yep. I've had lunch with her a couple of times and, you know, it's just been very amicable. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, well, what happened. It's in the past. And I'm glad you're doing better. And I'm glad you're, you know, on the straight and narrow.
Yeah.
And so on and so forth. And, you know, we still remain friendly.
Right.
And that's about it.
You didn't try to get a little of that just for old time's sakes?
No, not at all.
No?
No.
I mean, if you're just friends.
No, not at all. But since you brought up Valentine's Day at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
And that kind of came to mind. It was just like, yeah, that was probably one of the most, horrific Valentine's Day.
Yeah, that's awful.
Could think of.
My God.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let you keep that one. Usually it's me with the horrible stories. I don't think I have anything can beat that.
Yeah. So again, it's just a matter of, you know, trying to swallow, you know, your pride or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. and go, you try to reconcile with it. You try to figure out, well, why did this happen? You know, why me? Why now?
Right.
You know, and again, I attributed that to my being naive at the time.
Sure.
And being charmed by a very attractive woman, because she was very attractive. And you know, I don't know what it was. Maybe it was just the what do you want to call, flattering my ego that this attractive older woman would have anything to do with me as a you know, this 26-year-old I don't know, unsophisticated boy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it was just like, wow, look at this. This older, mature woman sees something in me. Wow, look at me, you know? But that allows you to, that opens you up to a lot of, what do you want to call, vulnerabilities.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically what happened.
Yeah.
And little did I ever expect that a Valentine's Day would end up like that. It's like, well, you know, your girlfriend was holding a gun to her head in a bathroom. Oh,
Jesus Christ.
Like, what?
It's crazy. Wow. That's all I got to say about that. Just wow.
So that's one of those Neely stories that, you know, I don't often tell.
Sure.
But it happened. It happened exactly like I told you.
My goodness.
Yeah.
That's some crazy shit there, my friend. Yeah.
Well, I'm telling you what, I spent 6 years in California, and during the time I was out there between 85 and 91,
mm-hmm.
I saw stuff, I experienced stuff, I was part of stuff that will never be repeated again in life. You know? And to live through these days of COVID,
mm-hmm.
and all the crap that's going on with our government and everything, it's just mm-hmm. like, you know what? I'll take those days over these days any day.
Without even thinking about it.
Without even thinking about it.
I'm with you, my friend.
I mean, there was great music. There was beautiful women. There were bullshit going on. But mm-hmm. I'll take that any day over what's going on today.
Yeah.
Even a girlfriend with a gun to her head. And I don't mean to say that in a real morbid way at all. But, you know, in the long term,
mm-hmm.
30 years removed, she's doing okay.
Well, that's good.
She's fine. Yeah. Everything's fine.
Doesn't still own a pistol, does she?
No, as far as I know, I don't know that to be true. But anyway, after the circle of life comes around, we're friendly, even after being 20 years estranged.
Right.
And you know, amends have been made, and apologies have been exchanged, and all that stuff. I hold no grudges at all, but it still was a very, what do you want to call, a traumatic time.
Yeah, fucked up experience.
It was. Absolutely.
Sure.
So my only message to anyone who is involved with any kind of a, you know, committed relationship,
mm-hmm.
value what you have if it's a good one.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say.
And run if it starts going bad.
Exactly.
Amen.
So anyway, I think that's going to wrap up the show.
All right.
Good to go. I told you I would tell my story. It's a Neely tale that I don't think you ever heard.
No, never did.
So even after you and I being friends for over 20 years, that's another facet of my life.
Yeah. Jesus.
That unfortunately happened, but it happened. It happened exactly. I mean, I look back and think, man, that was just like yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Crazy.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, I think I'm going to let you pick a tune, take us out of the show.
All right. How about if we go with Tried and True by Junkyard?
All right. I like Junkyard. Very blues bass band.
Sure.
And didn't you just interview the lead singer from Junkyard?
Not recently.
Back about like 8 months ago?
No, I don't think, maybe. I don't know. I could have. That whole period last year, the beginning of COVID, when I was just doing interviews every fucking day.
Yeah,
you were. I don't know who I interviewed. It was 150 interviews in 12 months.
Wow, that's true.
You know, so I don't know who I may have. I don't know.
Because I think they were out there, they were
out. They put out a record. I do know that. So
right.
I probably did.
All right. All right. Well, we're going to get out of here. We'll be back next Saturday. Happy Valentine's Day to everybody who likes that happy horse shit.
Yep.
And we'll do this next week.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, here it is. It's Junkyard with Tried and True exclusively here.
On your classic metal show. All right, that was a lot of fun, wasn't it? And you know what else is a lot of fun? The CMS Podcast Network. That's right, cmspn.com is the address. Make sure you go over there. Make sure you watch the episodes there. You listen to the episodes there. And maybe you even just subscribe so it's delivered to your phone, to whatever podcasting software you use. But do it from cmspn.com. Once again, cmspn.com, cmspn.com, cmspn.com. We'll see you next time, fucks.